the lights to come on. There we go. What amazing thing are you waiting for this morning or in your life? You know, I think we all search for that kind of moment. I know for myself, you know, looking to have an amazing life when I was younger, I thought, I want to be a police officer, or, and I shared last week, or an astronaut or a fireman or all these other things. And when I was in college playing college ball, and I thought, I want to play professional baseball. And so I went up to Minneapolis and spent a little time up there and did some things. And I thought, that's what I wanted to. That would be amazing to play professional baseball. What would be amazing? And God got a hold of my heart because I really didn't have any direction. I think I felt like that. Even though I had my life, I felt like I really was kind of spinning my wheels. And then something amazing happened to me. Something amazing happened. Christ got a hold of me. In fact, the Bible says we're all waiting for something amazing. Let me bring up this scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 19. The Bible talks about something amazing happening. It says the creation, that's all of us, waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. That word revealed is the word apocalypso. It's where we get the word apocalypse. You know, people talk about the end of the world. People are kind of amazed, waiting for something to happen. Y2K. Everybody's waiting for something amazing to happen at Y2K. Now we know that the Mayan calendar runs out next year. Everybody's waiting for something amazing to happen. Is it the end of the world? Tsunamis and earthquakes and everything. Everybody's wondering. And the Bible says that all of creation waits for something amazing to happen. And what does it say is the amazing thing? For you and I, the sons of God, to be revealed. To unveil, to pull the curtain. We've been working on something. And we're waiting. All of creation is waiting to pull the curtain back just to see what's under the curtain. I can't wait to see. Can't wait to see. What is it that is just, you just can't wait to see it? Amazing things, because when it happens and Christ gets in your life, amazing things, incredible things. I would love to meet Mr. Incredible. Thank you. Mr. Incredible is that guy who wants so desperately to be amazing. When I found Christ, amazing things happened, because the Bible says, gentlemen, that you are now Mr. Incredible, because Christ is in you, and because He's in you, guess what? He is Mr. Incredible. And who dwells within us? Not the soul of the world, but the Spirit of the one who sent Him. Christ dwells within me. Mr. Incredible lives inside of my heart. That's an amazing moment. That's an amazing thought. And with all of that, I think of what God has done, because I'm looking for incredible things. About 7 years ago, I took some students to a mission trip, and we were sitting in the Caribbean, and we were working in Montego Bay. We were building a school and a church and some bathrooms and some things up in the mountains, up in the plantation, the jungle area. And our station where we stayed was about a quarter of a mile from the beach. And we got news that Hurricane Dennis was coming straight at us. And it was a Category 4 hurricane. And it was coming right to us. We couldn't go anywhere. We were stuck. That hurricane was coming right at us, and we prayed for something incredible to happen. And we saw the hand of God take that hurricane and the eye of it coming right at Montego Bay. And I remember the kids trying to get a hold of their parents and parents trying to get a hold of the kids. I mean, it was a crazy moment. And we just trusted God that He had brought us down there. That hurricane came right at us. Took a right, took a left, took another left, and moved right around us. The eye of the hurricane literally did a U right around us. I remember a moment standing there thinking, God, You are so awesome. I've never been in a hurricane, and I'd like to just see the edge of it. And that's what I saw. And I remember our area, the first level of our area where we were bunked, flooded. We had to move up to everything to the second floor because it was that bad. And it was just the edge of the hurricane. And I remember looking up at a young man who was on our team named Casey, and I looked up and he was up on this roof area, a lookout point. He was standing up there, and I remember seeing him in the black sky as the clouds were going sideways, standing up there going, Hurricane Dennis, is this all you've got? And I still can see that picture of him silhouetted in that sky as I'm standing there with my bags. We're moving up to the next level thinking, he's crazy. But that is pretty awesome. And then he changed the name and said, more like Hurricane Denise. And I thought, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. God has been good to us. And we stood in a hurricane. And God is my portion. And I saw something awesome because the incredibleness of who God is can do things like that where you can stand in the middle of a hurricane. I remember seeing something incredible and taking a group of people just a summer ago, and we went up to Laramie Peak in Wyoming. And I saw some incredible things as we climbed. I thought, I want to make it to the top. I'm getting older. My knees aren't so good. And 5 miles up at that altitude at 10,400 feet, I don't think I'm going to make it. I remember two young college men came down and they grabbed a hold of me and they said, come on, Pastor, you got a quarter mile to go. We will carry you to the top. And I saw something incredible in my life. I saw people helping people because here it is. Heroic and epic life means that we go and we grab people and we help them to get to the summit of their life. We help people get to those moments in their life where you see incredible. That's what we do, Christians. That is heroic life. And I know that people can't wait. There's that eager expectation, that unveiling of those people that weren't there yet. And they'd heard about the stories and said, when you get to the top, you can do a 360. It's a panoramic view of five states. It is an awesome, incredible moment. And they were in eager expectation, and they worked so hard to get to the top of that mountain. Right now, we're working on Judgment House. And there's this eager expectation. The whole community is abuzz over what we did last year with this incredible story about heaven and hell, life and death, Jesus and salvation. And they can't wait to see, are you guys doing it this year? All around town, they're abuzz about this. And we met yesterday for our first kind of get-together and see what all we need to do. And they can't wait for us to pull the curtain back and go, what are you going to do this year? Well, you'll see what we're going to do this year. It's going to be awesome. And the whole world is waiting to see. See, here it is. I think the whole world is waiting to see what you and I, men, listen, men, the whole world is waiting. Young men, the whole world is waiting to see what you will become. They're waiting for the curtain to be pulled back. Ladies, the world is waiting for you. And they can't wait to see. See, who I am is not who I am going to become. Who I am is not who I am. See, who I'm going to become. Now, that's what I'm looking forward to. See, God is chiseling. He's got me underneath the curtain, and he is working. He's saying, I'm unveiling, and the whole world can't wait to see, Mitch, what you can become in the next few years. And I can't wait to see in 5 years what God can do. I can't wait to see that. I'm not the man I'm going to be. And so I'm not living here. There's a gap between those. I know who I am today, and I know what God can do. And there's a gap. And I want to let you know today, God wants to close that gap in our lives so that we can become those men that God wants us to be. I look at this in this story in Chronicles. Here's David fighting. His town has been taken captive by the Philistines. They're living in Bethlehem. They've got Bethlehem, the place where the Christ child will be born. We got to get Bethlehem back because Jesus needs to be born there. We got to get it back. David is up on a mountainside in a fortress, a stronghold. It's kind of a cave. As he's up in this stronghold, his men are with him. As he's standing on the wall looking at the battle that keeps taking place down in the valley, he can see Bethlehem across the way. And in Bethlehem, there's an incredible well there that was dug by Jacob. It's a deep well, and it's some great water. And he's just sitting there thinking, he's reminiscing, and he's got his mighty men, and these guys are incredible. And the three are talked about over and over in Chronicles. They're talked about in other places in the Bible. And these three men are standing around. And David, as he's kind of gazing in the distance, I could see maybe he's a little bit parched. And he's probably thinking, boy, I could sure use, oh, wouldn't it be great to just have a, wouldn't you love a tall glass of that good water out of Jacob's well? And these three guys look at each other and they go, you want it? Let's go. And they do. They get out of their fortress. They go through their little set up in their stronghold. They get out. They go past the battlefield. They sneak into Bethlehem, just outside of the wall, where the enemy is. And they get this stuff, fill it up. They go back, sneak back through the enemy lines, go across the field of battle. They get within their own stronghold fortress, and they show up. Okay, we're good. Let's go up there. I don't know if it's been a few hours. I don't know how long it took him. It doesn't tell us in the Bible, but we know they did this. As they get to David, they go, hey, guess what we did? And he says, where have you guys been? He said, we just went on another adventure. You did. What did you do? And they pull back the curtain. They go, look, here's a cup of the water. What? Yeah, we went over there and we grabbed a hold of a cup of that water. We went over there and got you a drink of water. Could you believe that? What an incredible thing. Where did you guys get that idea? And they just went, I don't know. Just sounded good at the moment. You ever do that? Something just sounds good at the moment? That's not always a good thing. If it sounds good at the moment, maybe it'll sound good the next day. Then do it the next day, unless you know it's the Lord. Then the moment is good. They grab this water, and he looks at it, and he's like, I can't believe you got, there's no way I'm drinking this. And he dumps it out. Because he's got his entire army there. And he says to him, guys, if I drink this, you guys risked your life to get me a cup of water. There's no way I can drink this. I can't have you guys dying for me for a cup of water. And they said, we don't get it. We'd do anything for you. We would do anything. And there's the epic life. Talk about the Incredibles. And I found a way to bridge the gap through this story, and here it is. If you have never taken notes here, you can get this online. All of our sermons are online, but listen, you will want to take a couple of notes, because here's some things. If you want to get into that place where you're living that, here's the first thing. Let your past pass. Let your past pass. If you want to live in this, and I want so desperately, I say, God, I want to be that man. I want to do epic things. I want to live in a place where the whole world can't wait to see. I can't wait to see. Then you got to let your past pass. What do you mean, let your past pass? What does that mean? There are too many of us living in our past. Let your past pass. What does that mean? Here it is. These guys were warriors for the Lord. They were warriors for David. One had killed 300. If you go back and read in another story written in another book about one of them, it says he was running into battle. He stopped at one moment and said, wait a minute. Why am I running? And his entire army is fleeing, right? And one of the three turns and he says, tell you what, this is as good a place as any. He stops in the middle of his barley field and he turns and goes, I'll fight right here. He turns and strikes down 800 men. That's amazing. Another one is fighting all day long in this battle. He's got his sword. He kills 300. The Bible says, as he's fighting, he's holding on to that sword. I don't know how long it takes to fight 300 people. But I'll tell you what, it says they had to pry it out of his hands. His knuckles had, you ever do that where you get a cramp and you just can't move? You've been like this so long, you can't move it. That's how long he had fought and how intense he had fought. It says they had to pry the sword out of his hands. It had glued to his hands, some translations say. That's an amazing thing. And these guys are looking for this. But here it is. They're doing all these things. Guess what? They could have lived their whole life saying, I'm going to live in 1972 or in 1996. God did this in my life. And they could live their faith in the past. You got to let your past pass. You got to live in the present right now. What has God done in your life this week? What have you done in God's life this week? Well, I know in 1975. Well, that is awesome in 1975. But you got to let that go. That's a great testimony. You got to be living in the present. Too many times, and here it is. I love that clip out of The Incredibles. She looks at him and says, you can't do this. He said, it's all I've got. She said, it's the past. And he's trying to grab on to those glory days. He's trying to say, I want to live that way today. And she looks at him and says, you got to stop doing this. And the poor little kid sitting there on his big wheel rides by. He'd already seen the guy lift his car up earlier on in the show, and he was going to toss it because his car was broken. And he stops and he looks at the kid, and the kid's eyes are that big. He's like, what are you doing? And he sets the car down. So now the second clip, you know, the guy gets out, and the kid goes, You know, the guy says, what are you waiting for? Something amazing. What are you waiting for? Something amazing to happen in my life. And listen, when a guy does something amazing, here it is. It could be this amazing. Simply say no to sin. If you say no to sin, can I tell you something? One time you have done something amazing. Because everything within you says, turn on the computer. Everything within you says, call her some kind of name, gentlemen. Everything within you says, go ahead and react out of anger. And everything within you, the sin nature says, go ahead and do it. The moment you say no to sin, you have become Mr. Incredible. Come on, ladies, the moment he's done that, the moment he shines, even for a moment, you need to cheer him on. There Here it is. Because we don't. What happens in that moment? He does something incredible. And I hear this so often. You know, I know he's going to do that now, but I know next week he's just going to go back to being the same old guy that he used to be. He's just going to... It's like, okay, yeah, he'll go back and be a jerk, but today he's not a jerk. You know what? You just got a glimpse of what could be incredible. Grab a hold of that and say, this is the man I want. Hold on to that. This is the teenager I want. Grab a hold of that instead of beating him up all the time. Get your pom-poms out and say, hey, guess what? You're awesome. 2, 4, 6, 8. Who do we appreciate? You're awesome. That's the only cheer I know. No, and I'm not jumping. We ought to celebrate. We need to cheer those moments because we certainly celebrate those failures. Oh, there you go again. Celebrate the moments. And I tell you, get a grip on it and hold on to those times. We need to be a cheerleader. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. I love what Peter says. He said, let mercy, let grace and peace be yours in abundance. Is that really what it says? It really does. It says that by the sprinkling of his blood, grace and peace be yours in, and we need the biggest word, the next piece. Is that not in the verse? I must have been reading it. There it is. All by itself. I want you to know something. If God says, mercy and peace, grace in your life in abundance. I want abundant grace in my life. I want abundant peace in my life. And so here it is. I'm going to let my past be my past. Let your past pass. Stop living there. And ladies and gentlemen, let's celebrate the future. That's where we want to go. These men did that. Amen. We are living in the aorist tense of the Bible. You know what the aorist tense is? In the Greek, spending a couple years studying the original manuscripts of how it was written is very rich. So let me pass it on to you so you don't have to spend $10,000. The aorist tense is this. We read the Bible and it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not die but have everlasting life. That's reading it in the aorist tense. It is not written in the aorist tense. The aorist is this. It's written, an aorist tense is something that happened in the moment, and it will never happen again. It just happened. I recorded it. It happened. That's not how most of the Bible in the New Testament is written. Most of the New Testament is written in the present, active, indicative. Are you with me? I said you're going to get some good stuff. Listen, follow me in this English and Greek lesson. The present active indicative says this. For God is right now loving the world, that right now he is giving his son, Jesus Christ, right now, and we are having everlasting life right now. And we who have it are not perishing right now and forevermore. It's called the eternal now, the non sunc in the Latin. It means this: God lives in the eternal now. He doesn't live in my past. He's not holding my past against me. He's not looking at me at how I used to be. I am not an alcoholic. I am a blood-bought, born-again Christian. I'm a believer in Christ that has been saved, redeemed, and sanctified. I'm a child of the most holy living God. I am not a druggie. I'm not a stoner. That might have been who I used to be. Who I was is no longer who I am. And who I am is not who I'm going to be in the future. When you understand that, now you kind of get the idea of how God sees you. Let's stop living in the past. And then we need to get, here it is, we need to get our presence present. We need to get our past past. We need to get our presence present. What do you mean by that? They got him water. Am I bleeding again? Whew. Sweating blood drops. We need to get into our presence. They got him water. They got him water. Doesn't that just blow your mind? Hey, you want to do something crazy for God? Let's do the most radical. Let's get a cup of water. Doesn't sound like much. It was everything. Because here it is. When God moves, get your present present. Presence. I have a present for you, Lord. Let me present it to you. Get your presence present. There it is. What does that mean? I'm going to get to doing some preaching here. In the church, if you want to find out where the heart of a man is, it's not through his stomach. You can feed him. You want to find out where a man is in his heart, look at what he gives to the Lord. That's where you'll find out where a man is, or a woman. And I'm not just talking about your finances. I was in McDonald's the other day. It was raining. It was cold. I was just grabbing something to go. I got it. I went over to fill up my 32-ounce Pepsi. As I got in there, I'm filling it up, and the Lord said to me, as I could hear this family that walked in, this guy, he's got a hoodie on, and he's got basketball shorts. I'm thinking it's cold and rainy, and he's got these untied shoelace shoes, high tops, and he comes in. He's about 6'4", and as he walks in, he kind of, with the hood on, he walks in, and his gal there with the piercings in her mouth and her nose, and yeah, and they had this beautiful... We're going to be okay. Is it all over? Am I going to survive this? You have got to quit hitting me on Sundays. Go ahead and edit that. Oh, Jesus, help us. I'm standing there, and the Lord's, as I'm watching this little one and a half, beautiful little blonde girl, their daughter, they goes over and gets one of those high chairs, and she pushes it over to a table. She climbs up in, and she's sitting over the table. Mom and Dad are over there talking about what they could get off the menu, and I can hear this, and I'm thinking, I should buy their lunch. Not a big deal. And I know you guys, listen, I know there are people in here, you guys have learned what it means to step up to these things. It was awkward for me because... And it's awkward for all of us at times, because how do I just walk up and say, excuse me, I'd like to embarrass you that you're not a real man, can't take care of your family. I'd like to go ahead and do this in front of everybody. I was thinking, how do I do this? Okay, Lord, you want me to do it? How am I going to do it? I said, okay, it's not the Lord, because this is awkward. They'll be fine. The little girl climbs up out of her high chair. She runs over to Mom, and a few minutes have gone by, and they're still standing there looking at what they think they might be able to get or not get. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm leaving. As I started going, you ever get that? You know what that is? All of a sudden, my heart started pounding in my chest, and it hurt. It was pounding. And this feeling just kind of went through my chest. It's like a wave went through, and I thought, oh, I know that. That's the Holy Spirit. Oh, I know that. When it happens, I know that. And I've only got one choice at this point. And that's to obey. And I said, okay, Lord, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this and not embarrass myself? Do I have some money? And I went to get some money out, And the Lord says, yep, keep going. And I said, okay. That wasn't even really the issue. I was already having the issue of really right here in McDonald's, right in front of everybody. And I thought, I'll do this in a subtle way. So I grabbed what it was that God told me to grab. I walked over and I thought, there's the high chair. I'll go throw it in the high chair. When they put her back in, they'll get it. They'll see it. And I'll do it in a nonchalant way. So I walked over to the high chair. As I walked by the counter, I went over there and I looked, and there's a guy on a computer in a business suit and another, and I'm trying to do this so they don't see me. And I kind of walked by and I flipped it. And it landed, and I thought, good shot. And I walked away. I said, obedient to the Lord. And as I was walking away, she at the counter must have saw out of the corner of her eye something flying through the air and thinking, what's that man doing over at my daughter's high chair? And she made eye contact with me from the counter. And when she made eye contact, I got nervous and went, how you doing? And as I walked out, I didn't say anything to him. And as I walked out, I thought, oh. I looked at her, and she's going, that man just said, how you doing? Now I'm thinking, she's going to think that I was maybe coming on to her. And I certainly wasn't. And so I get in my car. I said, that was the most awkward moment to obey the Lord I've ever had. Really, it had to go that weird? I got in my car, and I thought, just get away before the man runs out, pulls me out of the car, and beats me up. I'm like, I'm a pastor. The Lord told me to do that. What, say hi to my wife? No, I wasn't. It was just the moment she looked, and I was like, ah, awkward, how you doing? As I got in my car, I know she walked over, and she found, and she got it, and I drove away. And the Lord said, see, now, was that so bad? I said, yeah, it kind of was. We could have done this. It could have happened another way. As I got in my car, I drove away, said, you know what, Lord, I'll obey you. I do want to obey you because I believe this. When God speaks to us and we bring our presence present, that God says, you know what, you're the kind of person I can work with. I'll play with you a whole lot more. We'll do this a whole lot more. You and me, I can trust you, and let's do this some more. And so as this was going on, I drove home. My daughter gets home from school. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I obeyed you. You know, God wants to cheer us on. God is our biggest cheerleader. And as I get home, all of a sudden, my daughter comes running into the house, and she goes, Dad, what's this? I said, what are you talking about? And she comes in. There were 4 Tiger tickets stuck between the door and the screen in my house with no note. And I said, immediately the Lord said, there you go. And I said, really? He goes, you preach it, you read it, what you sow is what you reap. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, flowing over in your life. And I said, wow, God, you just blessed me 10 times with that. Now, you may say that's great. God's timing is an amazing thing. God is always at work. And he was just going, good job. Thanks for listening. I know it was awkward, but thank you for listening. Now, here it is, church. We've hired some amazing staff. We've stepped out of the boat. It's awkward. Well, let's hire someone. It's been Pastor Mitch for 4 years. We hired Jeremy, who's a phenomenal. I love what he's done with our worship and what he's doing with our youth worship and how he's a part of our team. We hired Spencer, and I love what he's doing with the youth and knocking it out of the park every time we turn around. I love how God has brought Pastor Ron on full time, and as the assistant pastor is just doing some incredible things and is my right hand here at the church. I love that. As a church, I look at it and say, God, I believe there are people who don't know what it means, and it's hard for them. They're going, this is really awkward. I don't tithe. Are you really going to say this, Pastor? Yes, I'm going to say this as clear as I possibly can. I think it's a wonderful thing to say. We have some great staff. Well, what does it take to take those staff? Well, it takes about $25,000 a month. $18,000 last month, $25,000 the month before, $18,000 last month. What does that mean? I don't know. I don't look at anybody's finances. I get the bottom line. I was talking to the board Monday about it, and I said, you know, it's just in my heart. How do I share that? Because there are people, it's not about giving. It's about where your heart is to trust God. And it's so awkward in moments to say, I'm going to do this. I've got to put groceries on my table. I've got to pay my heating bill and my house. I understand that. Listen, when you sow something obedient to the Lord, God brings it back to you tenfold. And I want to say this because I think we miss this. When God says in Malachi chapter 3, let me show you. When God says in Malachi chapter 3, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. I want to encourage you, people. Some of you may be new to church. Some of you may have been there a long time, and you're saying, how do I sow, though? I don't get that. I learned years ago in my family. My wife helped teach me this because, again, I came raw into this about how to sow into the kingdom of heaven, that God gets my first fruits. I come in with my wave offering. The first thing I do is say, God, thank you. Here's my tithe. That's what the Bible says. And I do that, not out of obligation, not out of legalism. I do it because I love him. I do it because I want to see those incredible things. I do that. And you say, you can't be asking me. You can't be serious. Do you know the economy? I know the economy. And I feel like Elijah, who went to the widow in the Old Testament. And he walks up, he says, hey, what are you doing? And here's this lady who's so scrawny from starving from the drought, and her son, who's about dead. The two of them can hardly even walk. And they're out there, and he says, what are you doing? And she's got these sticks in her hand, sticks she's picking up off the ground. He says, what are you doing with those? She said, we're taking those home to cook them and die. He said, really, you're cooking those? What are you going to cook them with? She goes, I have the last piece of flour in the bottom of the jar, and I'm done, and we're dead. We're going to go have our last meal and die. He said, no problem. Here, listen, before you do that, go ahead and cook me something to eat, then you guys go ahead and eat and die. Of all the audacity, Pastor, how dare the pastor ask me for that? How dare you? No, no, no. Yes, how dare him? Because, see, God was setting up a blessing. That woman found that when she gave to the prophet of God, when she gave to the Lord, her presents were present. The Bible says and records this, that her jar was so full, it never ran out again. You see, God knows your needs. Listen, God didn't make you to leave you and abandon you on this earth. He made you so you'd be dependent upon him. You may be in the situation you are, and it may even get worse because he's still waiting for you to get dependent upon him so you can trust him and not yourself. And when we get in that place, we bring our presence present. I had to say that to you this morning because I'm encouraging you. I believe that living in an epic life, when you begin to sow things, God begins to do other things. I know people who say, well, we need, our car's broken. They'll give more money because they know God is going to do more things. They'll start sowing into missionaries. They'll start sowing into other things. People do this all the time. And I want to tell you something. If God is true, then that scripture is true. If God is a liar, then that needs to come out of your Bible. So take your Bible in Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and just go ahead and tear that out and throw it away. But you can't, because this is what Jesus taught when he said, a good measure pressed down, shaken together. I say that because our presence may not be present. A cup of water is what they did. And God used that to show us something incredible. A woman at a well, a cup of water. And Jesus said, now in your life, you will have a wellspring of life that will spring up to eternity. It will flow out of you. And that woman was never the same. A cup of water can change a life. What are you doing with the water? Let me close with the last point. If you put your past past, if you get your presence present, then you need to get your, listen, you need to see your future for sure. You need to see your future for sure. Your future for sure. I love this. The Bible records, it says, and these men did many other exploits. In other words, their future was for sure. These guys were going to do great things. Listen, Judgment House is going to be for sure awesome. Reverse Christmas, we're going to feed thousands of people in this community. We're going to do stuff in this church. We're going to knock out some walls. We're going to grow. We're going to see people saved. We're going to see lives transformed. We're going to see people healed. Those things continue. Are we going to see those in the future for sure? If we're obedient to God, we will see those. Gentlemen, we need to see our future for sure. And let me say it this way. Gentlemen, be faithful to what God has called you to. Don't be faithful to the world. The world is going to change and it's going to hit the church. And you got to ask yourself the question, in the future, am I going to be for sure? Does that make sense? Do I need to explain for sure? For sure says this, in the future, I'm not taking on the things of the world. I go around every day and I see these everywhere. People are spray painting 666 on their cars everywhere I go. 666 on their cars. People have it on their stickers. They got them on their shirts. They're drinking 666. Our world right now in America is promoting 666. I can't believe it. Everywhere you go today, you will see 666, probably in this parking lot. I saw a car out here with 666 sprayed all over it. Here it is, brother. It's a little mark and then a squiggly line. A little mark and a squiggly line. A little mark and a squiggly line. You say, well, that sounds a lot like Monster Energy drink. Yes, it is. And people are putting it all over. And you know what, Christians? Listen, I'm going to make my future for sure. The Bible says in the last days, men will give up and take on the mark of the beast. Oh, that'll never happen. I'm not taking 666 and putting it on my car or in my house or on my shirts. Your kids are wearing them. It's all over the place. Monster Energy drink is the letter there is the number 6 in Hebrew, 666. And their theme is unleash the beast. It's not accidental, it's intentional. You say, oh, Pastor, you're overreacting. Yeah, okay, I'm overreacting. And that's exactly what the church will do when they start compromising and not becoming the people of God. They'll start looking, oh, it's no big deal that I got 666 on my t-shirt. It's just a joke. And listen, when God becomes just a joke and the devil gets all over your place and you're promoting him and people are laughing, he's laughing all the way to the church. Whew, get to preaching this morning. No wonder I'm bleeding. We need to make our future for sure. I heard Pat Robertson on the 700 Club. I couldn't believe it this week. Somebody called in, a guy called in, said, I need some advice. Wife has Alzheimer's disease. I got a girlfriend now. What's the advice? And a man who influences millions in the church said, well, Alzheimer's, I mean, she's just as good as dead. You can go ahead and remarry and have, you know, but make sure you financially take care of her, but she's just as good as dead. Huge controversy right now. And I'm listening to this. I thought, no, there's no way. I went and read all of his statements. I thought, there's no way. I followed him. I love listening to him. And just on. And I'm not here to pick on a person, but this is where it gets into the church. Listen, someone with Alzheimer's disease is not dead. Okay? Because here it is. I'm going to make my future for sure. Because I told my wife, I said, listen, when I'm walking through Myers or Walmart and I'm grabbing cereal out of the box and just eating it in the aisle and then going to the milk and drinking it, know this, I'm not goofy. I'm just going to take advantage of being old. I'll keep giving you the signal. It's going to be, how about those lines? That means I'm still sane, okay? Don't put me away. When I'm driving 2 miles an hour down the road at the age of 70, I can do it because I can do it. And the police officer pulls me over, and I flip my wallet and say, beam me aboard, Scotty. And he looks at me and says, you shouldn't be driving. And I say, you shouldn't have a clown outfit on. And they go, this guy's senile. Don't lock me up. Listen, I may end up with some kind of disease. Listen, the world's going to take my body out. I'm okay. The car will rust. I live in Michigan, okay? My body will shut down. I'm not worried about this body. Listen, jump start it as many times as you want. Get 911 in there and hook the paddles up and you get the battery going again. That's fine, but one day the battery's no good. But in the meantime, I believe my wife and I said, until death do us part, our future is for sure. I say as an epic life to my wife, listen, sweetie, no matter what happens in this world, I'm there for you. When we grow old and we hold hands and say goodbye one day on this earth, I will not have abandoned you, even if you're not in your right mind, because I know I won't be in mine. We need to get our future for sure. And right now, here it is. You may not be married, but here it is. I want to be able to say to the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, Jesus, thank you for saving me. I want you to know when things get bad in this world, I'm not going anywhere, and my future is for sure. And you hold on to me with all that you have, and I will hold on to you with all that I have. My future is for sure. You want incredible things to happen in your life? Go get a cup of water. Put your past behind you and embrace what God's going to do. The world eagerly waits for the sons of God to be revealed. The world eagerly awaits for the sons of God to be revealed. That's what it is. The whole world has simply been waiting for people who have the message of the cross to carry their cross and say, it's not always comfortable. Put your sandpaper away, and if Jesus Christ is called you to follow him, pick up your nets and follow him. Leave the tax booth and follow him. Follow him with all that's within you. Simply say yes to the Lord. Present your presence and say, I'm clinging on My future is absolutely for sure. Let's stand together and pray.